Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another quasi-exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's a forlorn Doug Tonis, who seems as upset as I am about the unfortunate ending of the Bulls regular season. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, definitely as upset as you, for sure. I had such high expectations. I thought We could have won the most important game in Bulls history, but we didn't. I think that was is that your phrase? Am I quoting you correctly? I feel that there was maybe some discussion about this on Waddle and Sylvie. In fact,
I did not say it was most important game in Bulls history unequivocally. I said it was one of the most important. And
games.
The reasons I outlined were. You know, I really feel like we needed to see more of this Kobe, Josh, Modest trio in games that actually matter and see how they performed in those games. And two of the three really were awful, and Modest was awful on the defensive side of the ball. He had some really nice moments offensively. But, you know, here we are in an embarrassing loss. I said this was the worst-case scenario, and I think you would at least agree with me on that, right? Like, in terms of evaluating this team, last night, losing to the Heat in that fashion, that's a worst-case scenario. What could have possibly been worse?
I mean, I guess a lot of things could be worse. We were already in such a bad place. I just don't know, like, what could really be worse. Like, I got to be honest with you. Like, given where we are, I mean, it's just, we've got no hope. And, it's not a great place.
No hope. Come on. You don't believe that, right? I mean, there is some hope.
Hope of what?
I think there is
winning
some
41 games?
I think Modest has shown enough glimpses that there's a good chance there's something here that this guy can be a pretty darn good player. At the age of 20, I thought he had overall, especially as the season progressed, a pretty darn good rookie season. You disagree?
I mean, it was okay. He averaged what, like 9 points a game and was okay on defense?
8.6, yeah. No.
I mean, that's the great hope you've got?
Well, yeah, I got...
I mean, I don't know. Like,
he played better down the stretch. Come on.
He played better, but like he wasn't like, oh, holy shit, we got Modest now. Like, fucking problem solved on getting that number one option. I mean, yeah, he looks like an okay prospect. Like, he could be a starter one day. I don't know, like, how much hope you think that gives you. Like, it was a good draft pick. I'm happy we drafted him.
The point is that I was trying to make with Waddle and Sylvie is that, to me, what would have been the best case scenario, these guys would have gotten to the playoffs, gone seven games against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and really proven themselves to leave us all with no doubts that this core, if you can add just one player to this core, then we got something here, a team that can compete for 50 to 60 wins, win its division, potentially contend in the East. And now after last night, I don't see how anyone could possibly say that.
You couldn't say that before, except that you're just deranged.
I think you could.
Like, that's the only reason before. There's no reason to think that this core was going to be able to compete for anything.
Dude, if Kobe came out and had 35 points and Josh Giddey played like he has been for the last three weeks.
Yeah, sure. If those guys were really great when they're not, then they would be really great. Okay. Like, if these guys were just better than they are, then things would be better. Yeah, I agree. If they were better than they are, then things would be way better. But they're not better than they are.
Did you take any solace from Arturas today and his great moments in front of the beat writers?
You know, I would say, honestly, it might have been his best press conference. That I mean, it's not saying a whole lot, but I think it might have been his best press conference.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought one of the dumbest statements he made was this. We had a number of goals. Our first goal, I can't even remember what he said. It was the second one that he said. He goes, our second goal was keeping our draft pick this year. And I was like, okay, did that goal entail like sending out assets and not getting anything basically in return, but contracts that are stuck on here for another year? It's going to delay another year of us being able to do nothing. I would have preferred that we just tank so bad that that goal would have been a success and then we'd be in the flag sweepstakes. Instead, what he did was he sent out Zach LaVine, took on a bunch of money that is going to throw away another season, essentially, and made us better than we probably really were. I mean, Herter, Collins, and Trey Jones, they all contributed to this quote-unquote run in the second half of the season.
I didn't say he made good decisions. I said it might have been his best press conference. I mean, you gotta keep in perspective how bad most of his press conferences have been.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of one of these things, like, I don't know what else there would be to say about anything he has to say. Like, it's just nothing. Like, there's just nothing this guy can say anymore. He's just really bad. Like, the end of it is he's really bad, and this team is not positioned well, and that just is what it is. Like, I don't know. Like, there's nothing else to say.
Do you foresee him doing anything this summer besides signing Giddey? And
no, they can't do anything this summer. Like, they can't.
I mean, they can make a trade, right? Like, somebody hopefully will make a... You could trade Iowa, I assume, get something. And he's actually not exactly at his high point in terms of trade value. I guess Coby White is probably... If you wanted to move Coby, that would be something that you could probably get something for him of value. But, you know, who else on this team are you trading outside of Modest that's really going to return anything of value? Yeah. If you want to go in that direction, I think it's important this year that 2026 that they really try to tank. And I think that's what's going to happen, I suspect.
Yeah, sure. I don't think so. They're not going to try and tank. What has ever happened with this team that would lead you to believe that they may try and tank?
Well, I think they're just going to be naturally worse.
Why? Why are they going to be worse? They're going to bring back the same roster that played well at the end of the year. Are you now saying that none of that counted and it was all fool's gold?
Not saying it was fool's gold, but there is something to the idea that a large percentage of those teams were actively trying to lose.
Yeah, so you're saying it's fool's gold. You're saying that everything that happened that you were cheering about and saying how great it was and how great all of our players were at the beginning of this podcast, when like you thought maybe some really cool stuff could happen.
Hey, it's still real to me, damn it.
Was fool's gold. It was fool's gold. That's what you're saying. Because if you think that was real, where they're like a, you know, like over the last post All-Star break where they played over 500, then you would think they're going to be like a 48 win team next year. But you don't. You think they're going to be awful next year because you acknowledge that all of that was BS.
I don't say it was all BS. I mean, they had some really nice moments beating the Lakers. They challenged Houston on the road.
Oh, they challenged Houston. That's good stuff.
Here's what I want him to do. I want him to do a buyout with Vooch. Vooch had a statement today saying at this point in his career, he just wants to win. If that's true and we can't find a trade for, like, you know, a box of donuts and a second round pick, release him. He had a good year. He made us better. He absolutely added probably at the end of the day, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins, right? Maybe. He played really well early on in the year. I mean,
buy that.
Maybe we just hold on to him for the tanking effort with his paint defense.
I don't think it's gonna matter. Like, in the end of the day, I don't think it. This team is in such a lousy place. Like, I think nothing you do matters.
Really, but I'm gonna just throw something out at you. Okay.
Okay.
We're gonna do a quick little worksheet here.
Sure.
We're gonna go over the wins for the Bulls from the. I'm just gonna yell out the team, and you tell me if you consider this to be a good win. And I would consider a good win to be a win on the, you know, against a 500 or better team that was actually trying to win. So this was from the All-Star break on. We're going to run through every victory.
Sure.
76ers.
No.
Toronto Raptors.
No.
Orlando Magic.
No.
At Orlando. Really?
Oh, you going to let me answer or you want to answer? I mean, I say no. You can say yes.
Okay. Miami Heat?
No.
Indiana Pacers?
No.
Indiana Pacers?
Yeah, wait, Halliburton was out for that game. They're like a crap team without him.
Brooklyn Nets?
No.
Utah Jazz?
No.
Kings?
No.
Lakers?
Yes.
Nuggets minus?
No.
Jokic? Lakers?
No. Yes.
Toronto Raptors?
No. The rest are no.
Blazers?
I'll save you the time. The rest are no.
All right. Yeah, that's not... So how many did you have there? Like four?
Two. I have two yeses. The Lakers twice.
Two yeses. That's it. Out of all of them. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it was fool's gold. You know, I'm going to apologize to you and to the fan base. I bought in. I was on board. I really thought we had something here with these three guys. I still think Coby White's a good player. I still think, you know, Giddey can be a solid rotation player, and Modest too. But everybody else, to me, man, I'm not sold on any of them. Is that, do you maintain the same type of ideas or opinions that I do?
Maybe. I mean, I'll put it this way, and we talked a little bit about this super briefly over text. We were going to do grades, right? Off-season grades or
play grades
of the season. And I said, I don't really want to do grades because grades are always sort of junky, because it's like, what do you grade on? Like, do you grade on expectation? Do you grade on an average starter? Do you, like, they're all mixed into all kinds of different standards. So like, they don't mean anything. Like, and I said, instead, let's go through the roster and talk about what position would this guy play if he was on a really good team. Like, no, it's not to be a championship team, but like a 55 type win team, a team that could like compete for a title. All right. So
Coby
White. I think he's like a bench guard.
You really think he'd be a six man?
Be your microwave scorer.
I disagree there. I think if you just replaced Darius Garland with Coby White, I think they'd win the exact same amount of games. But we'll disagree.
Okay, like, yeah, I could see that.
He
could be
top six.
He could be your, I mean, your bench scorer is like a specific role. Like, he could also be, he could start. He could be like your fourth starter.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and maybe even better than that, right? Like, I think you agree. Like, he improved enough this past season that.
Somewhere between the third and fifth best guy on your team. But his role would be like non-primary scorer, non-secondary scorer. It would be your third scorer. And usually, if you're the third scorer, you have another guy that's more important than you that's adding defense or like other stuff. Like, your third scorer is less important than like your best defender or like whatever. But I think he'd be the third scorer on a championship team, and I don't think he adds a whole lot of anything else.
I think he could be just dropped him on Denver. I think he could win a title with Denver as probably the second best scorer. And
maybe, but they'd have like two other guys that are just as good.
Yeah.
They'd have two other guys who are just as good as scorers, and they'd have one guy who's the greatest player in the league by like 10. Like, okay. Like, you can't use these like crazy examples. Like, if he's playing with Michael Jordan, he could then be like the third best player. Like, okay, well, who cares? Like,
it's the Bucks too, though. Like, you throw him on the Bucks. I think you keep on running through the teams. He fits in and could start with a lot of good playoff teams. So he's the one guy.
Yeah,
in the
he's
team,
the third scorer, really though. I don't think so. I think he's like third scorer, right, and third. He adds nothing else. He has nothing but scoring. And I think you'd have two better scorers on almost all title teams than him.
All right, so Coby is, though, a top – he's a rotation player.
He's a rotation player, for sure. Title. He's got a place. He's a good player in the league. He's a good player.
Vucevic.
I don't know. Like, out of the rotation, maybe backup center.
Yes. Agree 100%. Like, and I know there's people out there who, you know, are in love with Vuce and are just nauseated at the idea that – what we're saying. I saw this a lot from – you know, Vuce has a few followers that are pretty devoted followers of his game. And – you know, they always seem to have a lot of critiques for Coby White on the perimeter and even to a lesser extent Josh Giddey. I thought Josh Giddey's defense history was an abomination, far worse than Coby's. But, you know, that said, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, and here's why. The idea that Coby's like, was the problem yesterday, and even Josh Giddey, yeah, they're not good on the perimeter. But here's the thing. If you're a perimeter defender running full speed at Duncan Robinson, whoever one of these players that is that can knock down a three and he pump fakes, you're getting beat, period. I don't care who you are. There's like five guys in the entire league that can close out at full speed on a good shooter, contest without fouling, and still stop that drive. That's just the reality of basketball. So this is why the defensive player of the year, all you guys, if you haven't figured this out yet, it's almost always a big man. Because in the NBA, like, the guards are going to get beat. They are. Your backline defense has to be there to clean up these mistakes. And that's the role of our bigs. And our backline defense sucks. It's been bad. frankly, it's even horrific. It's as bad as any team I've ever seen. So, you know, I'm not going to expect Kobe and Josh to be, you know, like elite lockdown defenders. They're not. They're never going to be. Either is Donovan Mitchell, either is Darius Garland. But you know what they have? They got, you know, Mobley behind them who erases all these mistakes. And so we haven't had a good back of the line defender since Wendell Carter Jr. So enough said on this. I'm just so sick of these stupid arguments I hear and people complaining about our defense.
This is really only because you talk with Paulie. No one else likes Vooch. It's just like guy you happen to be really close with that loves Vooch. I think that's it. I think like everyone hates Vooch.
No.
Everyone has now agreed with the Doug Tonis view of Vucevic. No one disagrees anymore. But I got to say, you kind of lost me at the point where you said like only five guys in the league could close out on Duncan Robinson and then not get beat when he drives past them. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like there might be more than five guys who could close out on Duncan Robinson and then not give up a layup. Duncan Robinson isn't getting a lot of layups if you've not looked at him over the years. Like, I think there might be more than five guys that can manage this.
What I mean by that is like when you're rotating.
I know what you mean. I'm just saying you might be overstating it like a wee bit. Like, you know, like maybe if you use like only a few guys can close out on Tyler Hero and then still stop his drive, like you might have something there. But I think a lot of guys can close out in Duncan Robinson and then stop him from driving still. Like, I think that's a little different. So that's I agree with your point, though. The overarching point that you need defensive centers, yeah, I'm on board.
And maybe I'm wrong on this, too. Maybe you're wrong, too. Like, Vooch had a freaking good year for him.
I don't think it was a freaking good year. He shot a little better, but he still didn't shoot, like, in the super high volume. Like, he still isn't, like no one's still out, like, oh, crap, we got to double team Vooch out on the perimeter. He wasn't, like, opening up all this stuff. So, yeah, his percentage was better.
He was 53-40-80, man. That's
yeah.
It's pretty good, dude. It's fine.
But his defense is so bad, like, it still doesn't make up for it. And he still, like, wastes so much time when you try to run him in the post. I thought it was nice after we traded Zach and he kind of, like, went and cried in his pillow for a couple weeks. And then he came back and then was like, all right, I'm going to play a different role and they don't have to run the entire offense through me all game. Then I thought like, all right, like now you're kind of making things a little better. But he's still such a negative because he's so slow. It kills you on both ends of the court by not being able to run up and down the court. Whatever. Enough on Vooch. We both agree he's like a non-rotation player on a good team.
You cut out on me just for a second, buddy. I'm sorry.
I just said enough on Vooch. We agree he's a non-rotation player.
Okay. All good. I think we both agree he's a rotation player on potentially a championship team as a backup center.
Maybe. Right?
That's our...
He's 50-50. Okay. I think a lot of them would get better backup centers. Or they wouldn't want what he does as a backup center. Like, they would want they'd rather have a defender than an offensive guy. He would be like the change of mix offensive shooter center if they needed like a specific lineup. But like, I think most teams would rather just have a completely worthless offensive player who can protect the rim.
Io.
I don't know, like fringe rotation player.
Yeah, I thought he had definitely a down year. I mean, his shooting metrics 49, 32. What did he shoot from the free throw line? 78. That's pretty good, but just not a great year.
I don't think he looked all that good on defense this year either. Like, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
He felt like he just regressed to me. Maybe he didn't fit in with this group of players in the right way. Maybe he had like one of these nagging injuries that just kind of knocked him off his game, but he feels to me like a guy who's almost good enough to be good at everything, but not quite there in anything. Like, he doesn't have any skill. You throw him out there and you're like, well, this is what he's going to do. That's going to be a net positive. And I thought that was going to be his defense. Like, he's going to be a plus defender and then an all around kind of little bit of everything offensive guy. And that would be a pretty valuable rotation piece. And this year, I just didn't think he gave you the plus defense. And then his shooting kind of fell off a cliff.
I think that was the issue. I mean, he was 32.8% from three is horrible. I think he was actually really good in the open court. Like, when for this style of play, I think that's the issue with me is, like, I think it would be conducive to Io, like, succeeding. And he just didn't do it. You know, 4.5 assists is pretty good in 30 minutes. 12.3 points per game. It's just the shooting metric. That three-point shot just was not there this year. And, yeah, I think you're right. I'm hoping it was – you know, the nagging injury, which hurt his play, and obviously it was serious enough that he's out for the year. And he's actually going to be, might not even be back for training camp. But yeah, I agree. I do think Io, though, when healthy, is a rotation player on a potential.
I think he could be. He's been like every other year. Like he's had 4 years, and there's like 2 years you kind of like really liked him, and 2 years where, you know, you didn't like him so much. And, you know, this is one of the years where, you know, yeah, it just, I mean, probably rotation. I think he could be a rotation player, especially a lot of championship teams or really good teams don't have deep rotations, but, you know, you just got to hope the shooting bounces back.
Yeah, let's move on. Josh Giddey.
Yeah, you know, it's like weird. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of the Oklahoma City thing that we've talked about a lot. Like, I think he's probably a starter. Like, I don't feel like he would like tank a team, but like, he's still got so many weird weaknesses. And, the defense still kills you. And then if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, like, what's he doing? And every championship team is a better guy to have the ball in their hands than Giddey. And probably like two better guys to have the ball in their hands than Giddey. And so I don't know what role he fits on a really good team. But if you had just the right pieces around him, like, I think maybe he could be like the third guy on a really good team if you had just the right pieces. But boy, do you need specific pieces.
So
he's like a hard one to figure. Like,
yeah, it is a hard one, but you know, for him to go to 37.8% from three, well, now he's at least decent as with that aspect of his game. He is still horrific on defense at times, especially in the playoff game, and I don't know how many times he gave up a backdoor. I thought he was awful on the defensive end. But there's so much good that he also brings in terms of rebounding, you know, and being a initiator of the offense at times. I loved him in the open court in the second half of the year. I think he probably could, but yeah, you're right, Doug. It's like you do need to have that rim protector, but that's what Oklahoma City had. I guess the difference is this year he definitely shot the three much better. That was kind of like his biggest issue in Oklahoma City to me, is that nobody would guard him.
But was it really that much better? Like, the percentage is better, but the volume is still low. He still passes up a lot of shots. Guys still don't, like, charge out at him. It's like, you know, so it's like, it's better. But, like, actually the difference between 34% and 38%, which is roughly last year to this year, that difference on the game is not really that big an impact. What makes a big impact is how teams defend them. And no one is scared of him shooting threes yet. And I think that's the thing that has to change for that impact to be greater. Like, it's good that he's shooting better, but it's still not good enough. But I mean, it's good progress, right? Like, I don't want to take away the progress. Like, that's really good progress. But he either needs to get the volume way up at that same percentage, or, you know, you just need to get to a point where, like, the defense is, like, really honoring that shot. And then that creates other opportunities. And those things aren't happening yet. So, good progress. Happy for the progress. But it's still not probably good enough to be where it needs to be.
Still 22 though. Like, I think you can make.
I have some hope. Like, you can see how things could come together for him, and he could be a good player for you. Like, he still needs to grow, but there's like enough pieces there, and like the rebounding is like, you know, really really excellent. Like, it's not just numbers. Like, he's a really excellent rebounder, and he's a really good passer. Like, he has two very much plus skills in the NBA. Like, they are like above starter average skills. And, you know, if he gets the shooting down to just average, you know, I think there could be something there, you know, because of these other things. So it's like, you can see how it comes together. Even without the defense, you can see how it can come together. And the defense is probably never going
to
be there.
The one other point, he got to the line a lot more too. That's huge for him and his efficiency. Yeah. So, and still not at the level you want to see for a player who has the ball and that much usage, but still not bad.
You can only look at last year to this year and say he made growth in two really important areas, which is those you just named, the free throw attempts and the 3-point shooting. He made big growth in two really important areas, and he's 22. And so, yeah, you can, and he's got some really good plus strengths already. So, if he keeps improving, he could be a very valuable player.
So, out of the top, White, Vooch, Io, Josh, four of the top players on the team, we've only agreed that two of them probably could be, Io two to a lesser extent. So 2.5.
We kind of are like, we've got one starter, you know, we probably got like two low end starters and a rotation player out of those guys. I think it's something like that.
Kevin Huerter.
Probably like end of rotation guy. I think everyone could use someone like Herter as like a shooter off the bench. You know, like he fits in certain lineups. You know, he could chew up minutes and I think do okay for you depending who he's playing with.
I would say overall, though, I don't know if you would concur with this. I thought he played better than I expected. Like, he was a lot better as a passer than I thought. I thought he showed that he had some ability there. He rebounded pretty well. I thought he was okay. Like,
yeah, he was really bad in Sacramento, right?
And a rotation player.
Yeah, he was really bad in Sacramento, and he played like much, much better. Like, if you look at, you know, like last year and earlier before the trade, he was shooting 30% from three. And like Kevin Herter shooting 30% from three is not a useful player. And he shot, you know, 37.6% for us. So,
yeah, 37.6%, you know, which is
that,
much better.
With that shooting back up, and then, you know, that made him playable. And then his other metrics were better too. Like his passing was better and, you know, like some other stuff. So he probably just fit in our offense more than he fit in that Kings offense this year. You know, so it, and like, I think not good enough to be you know, for sure, like for sure, I guess high end rotation player, but like a low end rotation player, like your seventh or eighth guy.
Before we get to the next one, Kevin Herter, how old do you think he is without looking it up?
I don't know, like 26, 27?
26. I was surprised to see it. I thought he was a little older than that. I mean, he's still right there in his prime.
Well, he was just coming off his rookie contract, right? Like he had the rookie deal and then he signed one deal after, and he's, I think, only a couple years into that, so.
Yeah. I do want to – let's bookmark all these because there's a really quick exercise I want to do. I want to run through with you before we end the show.
Okay.
With all these players. Trey Jones, 25 years old, believe it or not, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, we didn't get to see Trey Jones a whole lot, but I thought he looked pretty good when he played. You know, it's a shame that he is the one who's on an expiring deal and not Herter or Collins, in my opinion. But I'd say he's a backup point guard for a good team. Like, you'd be really happy with him as your backup point guard. Maybe even your starting point guard if you had someone like Doncic or something who's like a point forward, or, you know, like he could be like a really weak starter, or I think like a good backup.
He's got to get a little bit better as a shooter. I mean, although he did shoot very well for the Bulls in limited period of time, but he's never been known as a three-point shooter to take that role. But I was really impressed with him as a primary ball handler and kind of taking over that point guard role, especially when Giddey was out. I thought he did great in 18 games. I would love for him to be a backup point guard for us, but I think he'll be a casualty of the ball contract. And who was
Carter?
Oh, Javon Carter. Let's go on to Patrick Williams. Holy cow. 23-year-old Patrick Williams.
He's only 23, Fred. He's only 23. You got to look at it that way.
That's right. Patience.
Yeah, patience. I don't know what to say about Patrick Williams because I thought he could be a rotation player, but the way he played this year, he's not in anyone's rotation. I still think he can be. I think he can come back and be a rotation player. Like the things we've seen in the past are like if he could just be a defender and a spot-up shooter, he could be a rotation player with that. And his defense just completely fell apart. And yeah, so I'm not like completely hopeless that he could do something in the future. But if he just is, this is who he is this year, he's not a NBA caliber player.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my exclusive report at halftime. He announced he was picking up his player option in 28, 29. Did you see that?
Did you see this amazing? Amazing tweet. This tweet would rival like one of your tweets. And
what was that?
It showed a couple posing on the court with Patrick Williams in the background. And it said, I didn't know I was going to catch Patrick Williams' only basket of the night.
That was good.
That was pretty fantastic.
That was hilarious. He took a picture with his girlfriend in the background. There's Patrick Williams dunking. I know. I saw that. That was a good one.
Well, it's also rare to see Williams complete a dunk. So,
Did you see two unique things
in that tweet?
Acknowledge one another great tweet I had. Did you see the one I had with Vooch where he was in the waiter's outfit and then he goes, "Hello, Heat, welcome to the United Center. Let me take you to your rim." Did you see
that? I mean, that's pretty good.
Is that not brilliant or what?
I mean, it's pretty good. I like to poke fun at you when you like prop up your own tweets, but it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Now it's just this show has devolved into the two of us patting each other on the back.
Doug, I woke up in the middle of the night and used the washroom on the way back. I thought, man, that was a damn good tweet.
I just woke up and I was like, that's a banger. This is how I felt when I did the plus minus song. I was like, oh man, I was so proud of myself.
I gotta
play
that at one of these shows.
AI like put it together for me in like 30 seconds, and yet I'm like so proud, like I did something.
Yeah. That was pretty good. I was irritated by it, but overall, I gotta admit, it's like a work of art. It was excellent. Let's move on to Lonzo Ball. Oh, this is 27-year-old Lonzo Ball. We extended him. Unbelievable. What say you?
I mean, if he could stay healthy, he would be a rotation player on a good team. And he'd really help a good team. Like, but yeah, do you think he could do that? And there's no reason to think the answer to that is yes. You know, it's like he finally came back from the knee, and you know, then he's still out for a wrist like the rest of the year. Like, so I, you know, I feel for Ball because he does seem like a good guy, and he has tried so hard to get back. Yeah, but the reality is still the reality, which is he's just never available.
Yeah. Well, the other reality is, unfortunately, you know, we all should be clapping and admiring what he did to get back. But what wasn't discussed enough in the haze of all his missed games was he sucked this year. He shot 36% from the field. I'm just talking about as far as a shooter, not as a. He's got a high IQ. He does a lot of great things. You know, to set up his teammates, and we all understand that. But if it was anyone else who shot 36% on the Bulls, we'd all be talking about like get this guy's carcass off the roster. And 36.6% is not acceptable, and 34% from three.
Well, it's almost 35% from three, and he took almost nothing but threes. So, like, the 36% from the field, like, I don't...
He averaged 2.1 attempts per game, I guess. Yeah.
He was 46% from two, and he was 34.4% from three. No, he was 36% overall. He was 46% from two. And the reason is overall was so low...
It was actually 45.8.
...is because... Yeah, sorry. Do you? I need to go to the 10th place for decimals. What are we talking about here?
Well, I want to do that.
You thought it was worth interjecting that I was off by 0.2% on his 2-point percentage after you just incorrected. You incorrectly did it by 10%. You're concerned about my 0.2% accuracy.
Anytime I can correct you, I look for that opportunity.
Okay. All right. Well, then anyway, for the sake of the rest of the show, assume I may round to single percentage decimals, not go to the 10th percentile. But yeah, basically was 36.6% from the field because probably 90% of his shots were threes, and he was, you know, 34.4% 3-point shooter. So I don't think his shooting was as bad as you think, and for that reason. It wasn't great, but I don't think it was as bad as you think. And he had a really positive impact when he played. Like, the team still looked a lot better when he played. So if he could be healthy, I think he would still have a really positive impact on whatever team he's on. And I think he'd be a rotation guy.
Yeah, unrestricted free agent. I think he might sign with a contender and play at the end of the rotation.
He'd get the vet minimum, and then maybe they'd keep him in bubble wrap until the playoffs. Like, play him every other game. Like, you know, don't do anything crazy, Lonzo. We're going to get you 15 minutes, then... get to the playoffs and then run.
Would you admit it was a mistake, as I had stated at the trade deadline, not to turn him into a first rounder? With Memphis.
I agree, especially because Memphis collapsed so much. Like, now in retrospect, it's a mistake. When at the time you said that, like, the Memphis pick was 26. And then you also had to take on $20 million in salary next year. And I'm like, you know, $20 million in salary to get the 26th pick in the draft, it's fine. But like, it's... But yeah, now that pick might be like 18th, and if Memphis actually loses, I think it'd become a lottery pick in the play-in tomorrow, then yeah, that would have been massive if you could have got a lottery pick for Lonzo.
Hold on a second.
Which is the
reality. There's a possibility that we passed up Lonzo Ball for the Memphis pick that could now become a lottery pick that could eventually be Cooper Flagg?
Well, I mean, it depends. Memphis probably was going to put some protection on the pick. So it depends what you negotiated. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe. I mean, they did trade that pick. I don't know if they put protection on it.
Did they do that with the Wizards? They traded it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
We'll check that out, because if it ends up happening, I'm going to be very angry with the world. Let's look at
if the Grizzlies traded, like, the rights to Cooper Flagg to the Wizards, like if that actually panned out that way, that would just be freaking hilarious. It would be super sad for us that it could have been us instead, but it would be hilarious. So.
Zach Collins.
I think Zach Collins would be a backup center.
Contender?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, barely. We're both in agreement. Zach Collins is, he's not our future starter.
Yeah.
Matas Buzelis, obviously we both agree right now I would say he's not a
rotation. He would be the young guy that's a future rotation player. They'd stick him in the mid, they wouldn't count on him, but they would view him as an upside guy and, develop him.
I just laugh at these guys.
He would be the guy they would trade. To get the
Billy
last piece.
Billy ruined him. I'm like, dude, do you ever watch this guy in the defensive end? He blocked shots. You know who else did that too? Tyrus Thomas. Tyrus Thomas was an insane shot blocker. He sucked defensively. And Modest has got a lot of ability as a shot blocker. I'm not saying he's Tyrus Thomas. He's better than that guy. But he's not a good one-on-one defender. He gives up backdoors all day. He does 100 things every game on the defensive end that I can absolutely see why Billy would be pulling them. So I think you guys should rewatch a lot of the Matas Buzelis games earlier in the year to understand why he didn't play that much. Jalen Smith. Oh, man. High on Jalen Smith, buddy. I'll tell you that right now.
I liked him at the beginning of the year. But, man, he stopped shooting the ball well. And
32%.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Yeah, maybe he's like fringe. Fringe backup center, guy you hope rebounds. For your backup center minutes.
If you can't hit the three. He's really close to worthless if you can't hit the three. That's the other thing, too. I don't think he's a good defender. I heard so many people like, oh, he's great. He's not.
No. He's great. He's better than Vooch, but that's terrible. About it.
Yeah, but how?
That's about it. It's not high praise.
Better than him. Yeah, exactly. Jalen Smith was a bust, and that was a wrong move. 15 minutes per game on a rotation by the end of the year. He's not even close to rotation for a good team. Julian Phillips.
Not in the rotation.
Hey, Julian, you got to hit wide open threes in the corner at a better rate than 32%.
Everyone else is not in the rotation. Can we save time? Like Dalen Terry, Talen Horton Tucker, Javon Carter. none of these guys are in the rotation.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to do, in other words, right?
Yeah, so if you look at it, it's like we've got maybe 2 to 3 guys who could be your low-rung starters, in your 3 to 5 starting slots, maybe 2.5 guys that could be there, maybe another 2 to 3 guys that could be in your 6 to 8 slots. So we filled out a team that just needs its 3 best players. If we just get 3 guys better than all our guys, we've got a really good team.
So what are you trying to say? Is it as dire as it sounds? Can we play just really quick game of guess the top three. I love this game. It's one of my
guess the top three. Okay. I don't know what this game is.
Who are 1, 2, and we played it at the end of the season.
Every year.
Once or twice before.
I got a little bit of early onset Alzheimer's, Fred. So we got to remember these games.
who are the top three in free throw attempts for the Bulls this year? 1, 2, 3.
Are we going with players that are
every player played for the Bulls this year.
And we're going by total attempts or attempts per game?
Totals.
Total. So that's interesting because I feel like Zach LaVine probably is number one if you go by per game, but because he missed so many games, he's probably not.
He only played 42 games, so literally played half as many games.
So if we're going with totals, I'll say Coby White has the most.
307, number one, correct.
I don't know. Then it's probably a toss up between LaVine, Giddey, and maybe Vucevic. Just because they played all the minutes.
Giddey was 2 at 224. Zach LaVine was 3.
Okay. At 182. I would have put Vooch ahead of Zach just because I would have figured he played so many more minutes than Zach. But it's weird to kind of guess that. I'm like, Zach is such a so.
Vooch played 73 games. He had 149 free throws. Played over 2,200 minutes, and he had 140. About half as many free throws as Coby White. That's that's one of the many reasons I'll be fine when Vooch leaves this organization. Just put it that way.
There's no shortage of reasons.
Total rebounds, 1, 2, 3. Can you name this? This one I literally almost passed out when I saw it.
I would have to say Vooch has to be number one. Giddy has Vooch to be number two. Number one.
735. Yep.
Two I can't Giddy, even take a five, guess. It's number three. Like,
you ready? Yeah. Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith.
350. Barely played. Oh, that's crazy. Like, he has like no minutes. Oh, yeah. That's insane.
Isn't that insane? Let's do points. 1, 2, 3.
That's another one because like I'd have to assume that Kobe is number one.
Yes. 1509.
Vooch has to be number two. And 1349. Zach is number three.
Zach lost out to Josh Giddey by how many points? Yeah. So Giddey had 1,022. Zach had 1,007. So, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. 15 points, right? Bouzelis actually was fifth on the team with points. He actually beat out Patrick Williams. Wow. I don't know. This is a disaster area, dude. How about assists? Can you think you can guess the assists? 1, 2, 3?
Well, it's got to be Giddey number one, Kobe number yes. two.
Yes.
Maybe. God, number three is tough. I'm going to. Like, the first two of all these are, like, pretty obvious. And then there's, like, then no one to go for third. And then you're debating, is it Zach LaVine, who barely played? Or is it some dude who barely gets assists? Well, so
Zach was fifth in assists okay. over 42 games.
He's a willing passer. It's Io or Vooch.
He's a willing passer.
It's the willing passer sounds like Vooch.
Hey, Vooch, 256, and Io had 208, was number four.
Yeah, I would have guessed Io, but he didn't play many games. Him and Zach are in the, like, you know, they have the best, like, per minute, like, totals, but then, like, yeah, they just didn't play that many games.
This is my favorite one, blocks.
Blocks. Did anyone have more than 50?
Yes. Two did. Bouzelis okay. had seven. All right, sorry.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go with Bezella since you just said he had 70 something. So I assume he's number one.
75.
And 75. Then, I don't know. Maybe I'll say Jalen Smith is number two, despite not playing any, because I know he had pretty good. Four. Okay. I guess Vooch is the only one else who's played a lot of minutes and is in position to get him.
52 blocks in 73 games. Congrats, Vooch. Great job. Josh Giddey was third on the team, Doug, with 45.
He's an elite defender, Fred.
That's
how bad. Elite defender.
That's how bad this team. Holy crap. What a disaster. Here, last one I want to do, personal fouls. Who had the most fouls on the team?
I think probably Vooch had the most fouls.
Vooch, what, 163?
Yeah. Yeah, Vooch. I'd maybe Giddey and Kobe.
Kobe White, 2, with 154. And this is another answer to the question of why he didn't play as much. Modest Bouzelis, 3rd on the team in personal fouls with 128. Ahead of Giddey, who literally played over twice as much, I think. Maybe I'm right. No, not that much. But Giddey, Bouzelis played 1,500 minutes, and Giddey played 2,100.
That's pretty crazy, actually. Fifth. When you tell me that Modest played 1,500 minutes and Giddey played 2,100, that's like a much smaller gap than I just feel like exists in my head.
Are you ready for this one? Okay. So Giddey had 122 fouls. He was 4th on the team in total fouls. Dalen Terry was 5th on the team in fouls with 114. He played 987 minutes compared to Giddey's 2,117.
Yeah, but I mean, Dalen Terry tried to stop someone. Like, I mean,
that was part of the problem with Dalen Terry.
It was, but Giddey never got close enough to anyone to follow him. Like, they just got right past him. Like, I think he didn't give, like, the, oh shit, you got past me, I'm just going to grab you foul. Like, you know, he just got beat. You know, like, Terry was competing. So, you know, it's like when you're competing, you're going to draw more fouls unless you're just doing give up. But on the perimeter, usually if a guy gets past you, you let him get past you and you let, you know, your center try to clean it up. So,
yeah. Who was 3rd on the team in offensive rebounds? Can you name 1 and 2? It's pretty obvious. But.
Well, it'd have to theoretically be Vooch and Giddey again. Yeah. And then 3rd, I guess Jalen Smith, because he was 3 overall and he had more offensive than defensive.
Jalen Smith, you're right, brother. All right, let's get off of this one. Oh, the last one, let's do minutes.
minutes.
One, two, three.
Well, it's got to be it's got to be Vooch number one.
No, Vooch was Kobe. Two.
Oh, Kobe number
Vooch
one.
Vooch was two to Kobe. Yeah, Kobe was 24-50.
And then Giddy, I guess Giddy.
Yes, White, Vooch, Giddy. You'll never guess number four.
Modest? I don't know. He had 1,500. That seems like a lot.
Modest was five.
Oh, wow. No, I is it Zach or Io? I don't know. Those would be the guys.
Zach is six. Io is seven. Number four on the team in minutes, Patrick Williams. How did that?
He did so little. He did so little out there that it's hard to imagine he was number four.
He just didn't, love it.
He just snuck in there. Like, it's like you didn't even notice him out there.
Yeah. Man, he had a bad year too. He had 32 blocks. Man, just you expect a lot more. Last one was steals. Let's do steals. Number one, steals? Two, and three.
That's a tough one. We don't really generate a lot of steals. I'd say maybe Giddy number one. He
Giddy one, 84.
He snicks in there a lot, and maybe I'm gonna say Kobe just because of the minutes.
Kobe
probably added him up, and
Kobe too with 69. He needs to get better at that.
And then I don't know. Three. It's like I don't know. Vooch. I feel like it's between either Vooch or 61. Io. Okay, Vooch. Yeah, Vooch. And it's the same thing. It's just like when you get to these things, for the Bulls, it's like you've got certain guys who just play so many minutes, and when you don't have anyone who accumulates stats in a category, just playing minutes, you accumulate them.
Yeah, isn't that something? That's an eye opener about how crappy the team was this year. Just a disaster. All right now, last tool before bringing the bus in, because we're a little late here.
A little late.
I'm going to run through each player, and all I right. want you to tell me. I'm going to tell you how much he's making next year. I want you to tell me if he was an unrestricted free agent, would he make more or less?
Man, this is okay? going to be a short number of yeses.
All right, I agree. That's what another reason why this shows how pathetic this roster is. Lonzo Ball's due to make $10 million next year. If he was an unrestricted free agent, no one would give him anywhere close to that. So the answer is no.
No.
Vooch, 21.
No.
$4.4 million. Patrick Williams.
No.
Kevin Herter is making 17.9.
Yes.
Okay. Zach Collins making 18.
No.
Io.
That's a tough one, but I think probably yes. I think people would have enough hope on Io that it'd still be a yes.
Modest, 5'4".
Yeah, of course. I mean, the rookie contract guys are a little different, right?
What about Dalen Terry?
No.
5.3.
No.
5.3. Julian Phillips, 2.2.
Julian Phillips would be out of the league next year. And I think so. If he's in the league, that would be a salary. So I think he'd still be in the league. Kobe White's the only bargain contract. And then we said Io is probably a break even, and Julian Phillips probably would still be on a vet min somewhere. And then Modest, who's on a rookie deal, obviously someone would pick up his deal.
Man, just horrible payroll management. Just horrible. And I understand you had to bring in Kevin Herter and you had to bring in...
I don't know that that's so bad as you think, because like it doesn't matter with Kevin Herter and Zach Collins, like, and even Vooch to an extent, because like they're all going to be gone after this year. And then you're going into 2026, you're going to have probably Josh Giddey on the books, Jalen Smith on the books at like $9 million. Modest Bezella still on his rookie contract. Julian Phillips still on
his
minimum.
That's how you really tell
the salary of whatever your draft pick is this year. And that's it.
Kind of like walking through
this
exercise.
So it's like,
then you quickly see.
It's bad in a way, but the only like really toxic contract on the books right now is Patrick Williams. So it's not so bad as you think, is all I'd say. Well, I mean, they were going to be really bright times if they won yesterday, according to you. I don't know how like everything hinges on one game between like sunshine and rainbows and Armageddon. Like
we're in a tough situation, so hopefully it will get better. And the only way for it to get better is Kobe White and Giddy continue to get better, and maybe Io next year. But everything else,
we need to really get you some of these bipolar meds. Like I think this is too big of a swing to go from like. You were talking about seventh title in 2027.
That's why it was
before this game
was
played
in my house.
One of the
most important games of Bulls history, as I said before.
So in a single game, if those guys did that, you just feel like the only difference is they had an off game this one game, and we went from like seventh title to this whole thing is a disaster.
if Kobe came out and scored 35 and Giddey came out and had a triple-double and we won the game by 20, that's exactly what I'd
be. Well, sure, I'd certainly feel better. I'm just saying the amount I feel better is not seventh title versus Armageddon. Like I'm not swinging that much over any single game. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I guess it's the playoff game. It's the win or go home game. So yeah, sure. It's the most important of the season. And maybe it was the best, because I'm going to throw in one more little thing before we sign off. Cause I also had an amazing tweet. This was amazing because it was not funny. It was factual. All right. So based on, now you have to actually get this podcast out before the playing games on Friday. So now it's on you to do this. All right. I believe in you. All right. So if Dallas and Miami win, we have a 9.4% chance to move up. We will be the 11th spot in the Tankathon ratings. If Dallas loses, but Miami wins, we'll be tied for 11th and 12th, and we'll have an 8.25% chance to move up. If Dallas wins and Miami loses, then we will get 12th outright. We have a 7.1% chance to move up. And if Dallas loses and Miami loses, then we will be in a tie for 12th and 13th, and we have a 6.4% chance to move up. So the results of these games could swing our chances to move up by 3%, which is like a 50% increase, basically, from the 6.4%. So we want to root for Dallas and Miami, as much as it may pain you, to win their games on Friday.
No, I want Miami to go to the Eastern Conference Finals after Butler, and I want Golden State to lose. That's how much I despise what Butler did this year. I think he was a joke, what he did. So I definitely want to see Miami do well.
All right. So there you go. That's my amazing tweet.
But, you know,
this was an amazing analytical tweet.
Would you agree yesterday was a must-win game for the Bulls?
I mean, they must win or go home. I mean, but let's say Miami and Dallas win, and we win the lottery out of the 11th spot and get Cooper Flagg, then yesterday will have been a critical must-lose game.
All right, maybe you're right. I didn't even think
about
that.
We'll see how it goes. You know, we'll see how it goes. It all depends what happens in the lottery and everything else, you know, like.
Yeah. So. Well, there's nothing I can do now unless I can build a time machine and make it all right again, but I don't think it's going to.
I feel like the way it's going over the last 4 years, you've built a time machine and you keep going back and making it worse, like every season. Like you keep trying to fix things. But
no one realizes it, but I've had a time machine and I kept on making all these moves in the different parallel. What's that called again on the Marvel stuff? What's it called?
The multiverse.
Multiverse, yeah. The multiverse. Every time I come back out of the multiverse, the team is getting worse and worse. At one point,
you're like, we got to get rid of Garpax. And you brought in Acme. And then you're like, oh no, we need to trade for a star. And then like we got Vooch, and then, you know, you just kept going through these things.
All right. That's good stuff. All right. Bring in the big, the BRB, the big red bus in. It's always good to talk to you, brother. It's been a fun year. I want to do grades next time, official grades. So we'll get into that next game. It's always fun. But until next time, let's go Bulls.
Go Bulls.